This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel, inspirational, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. This is going to be such a fun show today. Our guest is a delightful bundle of energy and a multifaceted talent. We have so much to talk about. But first, let's listen to this song from her new Western Swing album, I Met Jesus in Texas.
I met Jesus in Texas, west of Abilene. On my knees one night I saw the light in my boots and jeans. Never thought I'd meet a friend like that, not in my wildest dreams. I met Jesus in Texas, west of Abilene. I don't see how a man who lived 2,000 years ago, he could find me down in Texas, south of Amarillo. He came all the way from a town called Bethlehem, showing much he loves me and cares for who I am. I met Jesus in Texas, west of Abilene. On my knees one night I saw the light in my boots and jeans. Never thought I'd meet a friend like that in my
big right now. Well, I met
this
lady when she was about 12 years old and was immediately struck with her confidence and just her raw talent. And I have so enjoyed watching her blossom and grow into a wonderful singer-songwriter and an entertainer. And at the tender age of 18, she has already has a long list of awards and accomplishments, not the least being the youngest person ever to be awarded the prestigious Wrangler Western Heritage Award from the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum in Oklahoma City. And she is now even a published author with her first novel, Girls in Gunsmoke, again, all by the age of 18. I am tickled pink to welcome to the show, Mickey Daniel. Hey, Mickey.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Oh, really, really good, sweetie. And you're actually home right now, getting to call us from Texas, right?
I am, until tomorrow morning. I'm going to Colorado. But you caught us at home, so it's good.
Perfect. And I've actually been to your home and met your lovely family. Y'all hosted me with a house concert, and it was just so, so fun. You have the most precious family. And I would just like to talk about that. I know that your family is your grounding and your roots for everything.
Definitely.
That you do. And so you have, of course, there's your mom and your dad, and then brothers and sisters. Tell us about that.
Okay. I have a younger brother. He's 16. And he's the sibling I'm the closest with because he's the one that's still at home. And then I have two older siblings that are married and have kids. And thankfully, they both live in Texas here, so we get to see them relatively often. Mostly, it's just my younger brother and I at home, you know, doing chores and school and everything and doing it all together. So it keeps us pretty close.
It's,
I don't really have a choice
really
about that.
Oh, but it's wonderful. And I remember when we were there and your mother just blows me away. She's just an amazing woman. And when we were there, she had this whole array of this amazing goat cheese. And I asked her where she had gotten all that. And it's like, oh, well, I made it. Y'all have goats, and you go out and milk the goats, and you guys make the cheese, and it's just the coolest thing.
Well, I hate to correct you, but it's mom who makes the cheese.
Okay.
I'd love to take credit for that, but man, yeah, no, she's very talented, and she makes everything. She can make any kind of dairy product you imagine, or she even makes soap or like face cream and just all kinds of wonderful things from the goat milk, and she's a keeper.
She is a keeper. And talking about that, she actually homeschooled you. Am I correct on that?
That is right. Yeah, actually, me and all of my siblings as well.
All four of you have been homeschooled by your mom. Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me about that. How do you feel about that, being homeschooled?
You know, I love it. I absolutely love it. And, you know, I've had a lot of people that have asked me, you know, if I've been homeschooled all my life. And I have. I've been homeschooled my entire life. And oftentimes I think people wonder, you know, if I've never been to school, how do I know that I like homeschooling better? And it's a pretty simple question to answer, because I've performed for so many schools. You know, I get to come in and do a Texas history class or, you know, share with them my love for American history, you know, through song and yodeling and sharing the cowboy way of life. And because of that, I do get relatively integrated with these public schools or private schools, you know, in their system. And I see the way it works, and I'm so thankful that my parents have homeschooled me and have allowed me to have the opportunity to not only learn from them, but to stay home, you know, and spend more time with my family, and then also give me the opportunity to be able to travel for my music or, you know, for my horses or whatever the case may be. So it's been really, really good to me, and I really enjoy it.
Well, your mother
changed it.
Well, your mother definitely, obviously knows what she's doing and does a really good job. And, and as you're speaking, and I know you, so I know all the different areas where you have passions, and
right.
It's like in this environment, you are really encouraged and allowed the opportunity and the space between your schooling to really pursue all of these passions. You can weave it all together, and you don't have to choose between this and that, you know, because of time constraints.
Right.
And so it just, that has just created this, you just kind of are going in 10 different directions at the same time and seem to have it all under control.
And it works. And it works. It wouldn't work. If I wasn't homeschooled, that's for sure.
Well, and I do know that your family is very, very grounded in the Lord, and that has been an integral part of your family from the beginning, probably when your parents got together, I'm guessing. I don't know their background, but I definitely get that feeling. So you've been raised in a Christian home, and you've been homeschooled. And I always ask this question of because I find it very interesting. At what point and what brings people to the realization that God is not just God out there, you know, the wonderful God who's over created the universe and is over everything, but a God who is intimately connected to me and a God I can have an intimate relationship with. At what point did that realization come to you? Because I know that that's the way you feel now. We've talked about that. But at what point... What point did that happen for you, and what kind of set that up for you?
You know, that's a really good question, because since I was raised in a Christian home, a very, very strong, almost strict Christian home, you know, I think I grew up taking things for granted. You know, I knew that there was a God, and I knew that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, and it never really occurred to me that there were people that didn't know those things. Like, I had been told, you know, that there were a lot of people that weren't Christians, but the circles that we were in, primarily everybody were Christians, you know. And so I think I was about 13 when I was talking to somebody I met through Western Music, and the gentleman was questioning me about my faith, and as we were discussing it, he finally mentioned that he was not a Christian and didn't share our beliefs. And I remember, you know, walking away from that conversation after it was over, after I had shared what I believed and knew to be true with him. And I remember walking away from that conversation. I was 13 years old, and I remember thinking, wow, you know, there really are people out there that, you know, haven't come to this realization themselves. And I went home, and I prayed about it, and I thought about it, and I remember opening up my Bible, and I opened up to Psalm 16, verses 8-11, and they had been a psalm that I had read many times before, but this time that I read it, it meant something different to me. And the psalm goes, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For thou wilt show me the way and the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And when I read that, I remember thinking, man, you know, he's talking to me. He's saying, you know, you've said you've known me, but, you know, have you really? And I started thinking about it, and I realized, you know, whether I had truly known him or not, I really wanted that. And so when I was 13 years old, I think it was maybe late November, I was like, you know what? I really want a close relationship with God, and I want it, and I want to keep it. And So I think that's when I made the decision and realized that it was something I didn't want to take for granted anymore, and something that I really did want to pursue and share with other people. So that was the start. And, you know, he gives us trials, you know, but without those trials, we wouldn't know how strong we could be, you know, through him, with his help. And yes. I hear so many people who are maybe struggling with a certain area in their life, and they feel as though God has left them behind, and they are not happy about the trials that they've been given. But I think an interesting perspective on that would be that, you know, not only does the Lord say, you know, in the Bible that he will never give us more than we can handle, but he's always there for us. And when we ask for his help, he is only a prayer away. So I think that's the coolest part, is, you know, coming to that realization that he's on your side and all you have to do is ask. And I think that's been one of the biggest highlights for me, you know, is learning how to pray, you know?
That's a huge lesson. And to me, I don't know about you, but to me, I look at, you know, through my walk with the Lord, I've come to believe that, you know, the challenges and the difficult times, to me, it's spiritual weightlifting. You know, we can't develop that muscle of faith, that muscle of trust.
Yeah.
It's an emotional muscle, and we can't develop it if it's not tested and tried and challenged, just like a physical muscle.
True.
And so to me, you know, so when I'm facing something that's difficult, I'm like, okay, it's time to do some weightlifting.
That is so true. I've never thought about it quite like that, but it's all good things come to those who work for them, you know? And
yes, that's right.
That's I never thought about it quite like that.
Well, one of the things I love about you, Mickey, is that you write a ton of your own stuff, which is so fun, and it's so fresh. And we're going to listen to a song right now that you wrote, I believe. It's called Raised Me a Cowgirl.
I did.
Mama met this cowboy when she was just 16. And that cowboy fell for Mama and offered her a wedding ring. They were married shortly after, and not too long before I was born. We moved into a shack size of a saltine cracker, small but it was home. And Daddy would take me riding on pony, me and him. He loved me and Mama with a heart as true and big as this old world. Daddy was raised a cowboy, and he raised me a cowgirl. Mama left us for the gates of heaven when Daddy lost a twinkle in his eyes, and we drifted from town to town. He bought me and Ryan ponies, and he taught us both to ride. And we tried so hard just to see the smile reach his tired eyes. And Daddy would take us riding on the a cowgirl. And Ryan's been married for 2 years now, and he has a little girl. I hope to heaven he raises her to be a little cowgirl. And now
That is the sweetest song, Mickey. So I have to know, how did you come to write that song?
That is a really good question. You know, the funniest part about it is the thing that inspired me to write it was early one May. I was riding one of my fillies across this big, wide open green field that had just been planted with wheat, and I just let her go, and she raced across the field, and I put my hands up in the air, you know, and the wind was blowing through my hair, and I remember thinking, I am so glad that I was raised a cowgirl, you know, and that's the funniest part is that's what inspired that song, you know, and the story obviously is not entirely true. My mom did not die.
Yes.
But it was just, I don't know. I think it was God-given. All my songs, I can't take credit for them. You know, they come to me.
Well, it's a precious song. And you were introduced to music early young in your life, and you play numerous instruments. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. Well, my mom put me in piano when I was, I think, about 5. And that was really exciting for a couple of weeks until, you know, the practice started catching up with me. And then I, you know, was like, I'm not sure if I really like the practice, but mom, you know, put me through it, and I'm really glad. So I think I played piano for about 13 years, and
wow.
I don't take lessons anymore. But, yeah, so I played guitar, bass, piano, and I've recently picked up the ukulele, banjo, and mandolin to add to the stack. But my parents were really, really careful with how me and my siblings were raised. And part of being careful about that was the movies that we watched and the music that we listened to. So I grew up on black and white movies, you know, all the old ones, Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, and some old TV shows like Lucille Ball, you know, I Love Lucy,
yeah,
and Andy Griffith Show and the like. And I grew up listening to those old Western songs and the yodeling. And so that's what I came to love. And when I was 11 years old, I performed for the first time. And I knew that I loved the music, and I had the opportunity to sing along with Kristen Harris and a couple other girls down the street from where I live, actually. And while we were there, a lady had come up to us after the performance was over, and she said, "Do y'all know Janet McBride?" And we had never heard of Janet McBride before. And she said, "You need to go to her because she can teach you how to yodel." And we were all about that. So we wound up going to Janet's, and she was so great. In fact, I wouldn't be doing Western music today if it wasn't for Janet, because not only did she teach me to yodel, but she always encouraged me to write songs. And she also was the one who told us about the Catron Opry, which is pretty much where I got my start. And that's where I met Devin. Devin Dawson was at the Catron Opry, and she mentored me for a couple of years there. And between Janet and Devin, I think they were the ones that inspired me to continue down the path of being a musician and, you know, traveling and doing it for real.
For real, so yes.
That's how I got started in it.
Wow. Well, and Janet, of course, for people who aren't familiar with Janet, she's been in the music industry for a long, long time and is highly recognized as an incredible teacher. If there's anybody who wants to learn to yodel, and actually taught Leanne Rimes how to yodel, and the yodel that she does in Blue. And so, and Janet has such, and Devin both, they have such a heart for youngsters and for children, and to really bring them along and just give them the foundation to just fly as high and as far as they can. And so that whole program of the Cowtown Opry Buckaroos is a pretty amazing program. And just what a blessing.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is, because they offer, you know, to teach their own skills and share any knowledge that they have about, you know, the music business, whether that be playing an instrument or singing a song or writing a song or learning to yodel or, you know, learning to entertain, you know, and comedy, improv. I mean, you know, they've got so many things to share that it's absolutely a perfect program for any kid who wants to learn to entertain, whether it's even in Western music or not, you know, because they just have so many things to share. Although,
they do.
You know, Western music is obviously where their heart is. So
That's the focus, but the skills that you learn can translate to any genre of music that you would want to do, for sure. And it's really cool that every Sunday afternoon, on the steps of the Exchange, you can find, you know, the Cowtown Opry there. The Buckaroos perform sometimes, and the adults perform other times. And I really love the whole giving back that carries down through the whole organization, because not like you are 18, and so you're technically, you know, aging out of the Buckaroo part, the kid part, but then you in turn are now mentoring and helping to mentor the youngsters that are coming up. Is that true? That's not, and I know that's what's going on, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's fun for me, because I remember being, you know, 11 years old and going there and being so excited when an older kid helped me with something, you know. And so it really is just about being able to give back, not to just the organization itself for what it has done for me, but also just because, you know, the love of the people and the kids. And some of these kids are just, well, all of them are very talented and just darling kids. And they have such potential, and all they need is just encouragement, you know, and help. And it's really fun just to get to go and see where they were last year and how far they've come, you know, in 6 months or in a year.
Right.
It's inspiring, you know.
It is. It is super jazz, and that's absolutely right. Well, we're going to listen to another one of your songs right now, and tell us a little bit about how you came to write Heaven in the West.
All right. Well, Heaven in the West was kind of a really spur-of-the-moment song, to be perfectly honest. I think I woke up one morning and my windows faced the south. Not quoting the song, but my windows do actually face the south, and it allows a lot of sunlight in the morning. And I remember thinking, man, it's just so beautiful out here. And I was inspired, I don't know why, just to get up and go through some of Mom's picture drives, you know, her computer hard drives, with pictures that we have of, we have a place in New Mexico, and some of the pictures there are just absolutely beautiful. And as I was going through the pictures, I literally just, you know, started writing the words down to the song Heaven in the West, and that's, you know, simply how it came to be. I don't think it took longer than maybe 15 minutes to get all the words down.
Well,
and it just came.
It just came, so let's listen to Heaven in the West.
All right.
Some people think that heaven is a place, and I am sure they're right. But people in general don't stop to enjoy it and thank God for what they have. Me, I believe that heaven is a place where we go, we believe on His Son. But until I go, there's a place I know, a little slice of heaven in the west. We were given such beauty that none can compare to, in a heart to love what we've seen. Minds to understand and words to give glory to the one we know. I thank God for this heaven in the west. I believe God gave us the desert and the mountains and canyons and creeks, and He gave us the flowers and the yellow jack pines and the golden turning of the leaves. And He gave us rain, tiny gifts of mercy. We are thankful and we are blessed. This place that we live in, we love and believe in, God's little heaven in the west. We were given such beauty that none can compare to, in a heart to love what we've seen, minds to understand and words to give glory to the one we know is King. I thank God for this heaven in the west. The canyons reach to azure skies and kiss the clouds up above. Age fills the breeze and I can't help but think 'tis a gesture of God's love. Time-worn trails carved by water and hail, a beauty this land passed the test. A grace serene and a gentle peace. Thank God for this heaven in the west. We were given such beauty that none can compare to, and a heart to love what we've seen, a mind to understand and words to give glory to the one we know is King. And until the day when I cross the Jordan, I thank God for this heaven in the west. Hey.
that's just lovely, Nikki. Just, oh, so pretty. You're so good. I just love it.
Thank you. Well, I can't take credit for that. I'm not even kidding. I don't know where it comes from, but God is writing in my hand.
I relate to that, because it's just, you know, when the Lord gives you a gift and he intends for you to use it, and then he works through that gift. And so for everybody, that the gifts that the Lord has, it's our responsibility to be diligent and steward the gift, but we just kind of try to stay out of his way to let the gift flow.
Right.
So
I
can totally relate to what you're talking about. Well, the first time I met you was at the WMA, and you were just a little kid. You're just a little kid then. So what was, as a child, showing up at the WMA, which for those of you who don't know about, the listeners, it's the Western Music Association, has an annual convention in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and everybody gathers together. There's showcases, there's shows at night, there's an award show. We have a youth chapter that mentors and brings along our youth. And so, but it's the first time I went was, it would be 20 years ago this year. And I was overwhelmed as an adult. So I'm really interested to hear what your thoughts were as a 12-year-old showing up at the Western Music Association convention.
Well, to be honest, I think saying overwhelmed would be putting it kindly, because I didn't even really want to go, because I was afraid I didn't know anybody there, and I was super nervous, you know, about going to a place that was doing this music that I thought I knew, but it was just going to be a bunch of adults that knew it so much better, you know, and it was just that self-conscious, shy nervousness. And mom was like, no, we're going to go. You need to go to this. But I remember that first night, either Thursday night or the Friday night. I don't remember what day it was. It was just that first night that I was there. The jam started happening, you know, and there was six or seven of them in that main hallway. And I knew those songs and I could play those songs. And suddenly it was amazing, because I was so excited because I knew it and I could, you know, be doing this stuff along with these adults, and they included me and made me feel encouraged, you know, and they were so welcoming. And that was kind of it for me. As soon as that first jam that I attended happened, I was hooked, line and sinker, everything.
Yep.
Like, okay, I can do this.
Well, when I first went to the WMA, I didn't even play an instrument. I hadn't even started playing guitar yet. And so I still was, everyone, that's one of the things that I do love about this organization is how inclusive they are. And even though I didn't play a lick on anything, I would go kind of sit in on the jams, and they were like, okay, well, you sing, so come on, you got to sing something, and they all play. And, and I have to say, as an adult, looking at the young people when they come in, we are so thrilled when we see young people like you and younger that are embracing this music, that it just is so much fun to just wrap our arms around you all and make you feel a part. And I do love that about our organization. It's very inclusive and very embracing. And
definitely.
And it's so fun.
And thank you.
So much.
Thank you for that. Thank you for being one of my biggest mentors and for, you know, always being so encouraging to not just me, but all of the youth. You've always been, you know, just so embracing, and we all really appreciate it. You know, we wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't for your encouragement and, you know, to be able to look up to somebody. So,
well, y'all,
we really appreciate
y'all are treasures. You're our little treasures in the Western Music Association, so we've got to take care of our little treasures. That's the way I look at it. So now you talked about you talked about your first singing in public, but what was your first paying gig? You've got to remember that.
Oh yeah, I was 11 years old. It was just a little bit before I came to the Western Music Association, and some friends of ours have a chuck wagon dinner party that they host, and it would be either for the gentleman's clients, you know, they would, you know, come out and bring them all out and have a chuck wagon meal cooked for them, and they get to see some mounted shooting and, you know, just the cowboy way of life. And then the other occasion that they had was they also hosted TV, either TV shows or bus tours. They would, you know, feed a bus tour, you know, that would come through, because we live in prime horse country. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of bus tours that come through, and they take you to all the different horse, either breeding or training farms, you know, and the like. And they would need somewhere to stop for lunch. And this couple that we know had this chuck wagon operation, and they would feed these people lunch. And they had somebody they would use for entertainment. But one day I was taking mounted shooting lessons from a gentleman down here, and a lady that had the lesson after mine heard me sing for him, and she said, "Hey, are you free tomorrow?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." And she said, "Good, because I would love to hire you to come perform for our chuck wagon event, because the people we normally have perform, you know, won't be able to come after all." And so that was my first paid gig. It was quite exciting.
Oh, for an 11-year-old, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was exciting.
Oh my gosh. Well, now that you are, you know, out there just, you know, just attacking this and tackling it as a career, do you find there are challenges folding your faith into what you're doing and staying connected and lined up with your walk with the Lord as you're pursuing a very secular career, albeit much more open to
mm-hmm.
being a Christian at the same time?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, very much open. The Western music genre is very open to that, but it is still secular, and you run into a lot of people still that aren't very accepting of it.
Don't share that belief, yeah.
Yes, so tell me about that.
You know, I think when I was younger, it didn't really impact me because, you know, I believed what I believed, and it didn't really occur to me that, you know, other people didn't believe the same way. But then mm-hmm. after that 13 mark, when I started understanding, you know, that not everybody shared what I and my family believed, it became just a little bit more difficult because I felt a little awkward about, you know, voicing what I knew to be true, you know, and standing up for what I believed in. And, I mean, I still sang gospel songs and enjoyed it and didn't shy away from a conversation, you know, that involved God, but I didn't really embrace being a light for Jesus, you know, the whole time. So I didn't necessarily go out of my way to tell everybody that I was a Christian. And then, man, I want to say just like last year, I was kind of a passive Christian for several years. And then think about last year, I was like, you know what? I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God, you know, and that needless to say, I owe it to him. You know, he put me here. He put me here for a reason, and I need to just, you know, dive in, you know, go all in. And so I decided, you know, I'm just going to do that. And there's been a couple instances where I go to a festival and some friends would, you know, warn me and say, "Well, hey, just so you know, they did not appreciate us singing gospel songs here last year, you know, so just be careful about that." But my personality is a teeny bit rebellious at times, or a lot. And so
I would say you're strong-willed. You're not necessarily rebellious. You're a little strong-willed.
Sounds perfect. So, you know, times like that when I'd be warned, you know, that it might be a little rough, that would just make me more resolute, you know, to do what I believe to be right. And if they didn't like it, they could go home. But I was getting paid to come do what I did, not to change who I was. But I think one of the most intense moments I can ever remember, it totally worked out to be God's will, but it was my first performance with Janet, and I must have been 12, and she said it was going to be a Buckaroo performance, and we could come, and it was at this hotel for this convention or something like that down in Dallas or Fort Worth, I don't remember. It was a bit of a drive, and we went down there, and we arrived at the hotel where the performance was going to be at, and we saw a lot of Middle Eastern people, you know, wearing all their head coverings and turbans, and we were like, are we at the right place? And we go into the performance, and we were at the right place, and we were thinking, oh my goodness, you know, we all came prepared with all these gospel songs, and that's what I came with. I had one of Janet's own songs called Gospel Yodel that I was going to do, and a couple other kids had gospel songs. Well, we did the performance the first half of it, and we didn't do any gospel songs in the second half. I think I was the first performer up, and I said, Miss Janet, I just have a gospel song. I'm just going to do a gospel song. And she kind of looks at me, and she was like, sweetie, do you see where we are? And I was like, well, I'm just going to do my gospel song. And I remember being so nervous. It was an undercurrent, you know, of nervousness up on stage where everybody knew that I was fixing to break out in a gospel song. And we were a little bit worried because it felt like we were, you know, very hardcore Muslim group or of the like. Well, we finished the entire performance with no mishap, and when we were leaving, we found out that the group was actually not an Islamic-based group. They were actually Roman Catholic. They were just Middle Eastern Roman Catholic. So we were like, well, God is watching out for us on that one. But it was very intense for about an hour when we did not know that.
But how good it felt to stick to your guns, no matter what.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Since
then, I've been like, you know what? They know what I do. You know, it says on my website that I do gospel and that, you know, this is what I do. This is who I am. And if they don't want me to come, then they shouldn't invite me. You know, if they don't want me to do what I do, then they'll know better for next year.
That's right. Well, we're going to listen to a song. This is a fun one because this is a song that Devin, our sweet Devin, reworked from an old song from the 30s called I've Just Got to Be a Cowboy. And we reworked it to I've Just Got to Be a Cowgirl, and I recorded it, and you've recorded it, and I love what you've done with it. You just so made it your own, and it's just such a fun little tune.
Thank you.
I just love it. We're going to listen to it right now. It's called I've Just Got to Be a Cowgirl.
I want a hand-carved belt and a silver buckle set and a Palomino pony to ride. A Stetson sombrero with 5X's in the bend and a pair of Shipley spurs and a great big patch of land. A pair of Justin boots, I'll have with 7 rows of stitching, and then I'll get that flowered shirt for which I've been a-itching. And when they holler, ride 'em, girl, I know that I'm really pitching. 'Cause I've just gotta be a cowgirl. Western guy I know, and when I've got him landing, I'll wrap him in my lariat and love him single-handed. And I'll rope the moon and stars and have my old Ford pick up Brandon. 'Cause I just gotta be a cowgirl. big with notches, and I'll ride a bucking bronco while a certain cowboy watches, and I'll get a drawl and say howdy y'all, and even buenos noches, cause I've just gotta be a cowgirl.
Well, you know, so I would never have done that song if it wasn't for you, because you're the one who I heard it from, and I remember hearing you sing it, and I went, oh, I love that song, and I love how she does it, and I was like, I'm gonna do that song.
So it's all your fault. Well, I will take full blame or responsibility, but definitely have to give a nod to Devin for recreating it into a really cute cowgirl song.
Yeah,
she just did a wonderful job. But oh my goodness, did you put your own spin on it? And it was just adorable. I just love what you did. Well, we are running so tight on time. We have a couple of things I want to get in. And we're gonna have to have you back on, Mickey. That's all there is to it. There's a lot more we need to talk about that we're not gonna have time for today. But I definitely wanna get you back on. But I do wanna talk about, before we let you go today, is Mickey Daniel and Texas Wildfire. You have teamed up with a couple of other kids, incredibly talented kids just like yourself, and just have put together this wonderful trio. So tell me about that and how it came to be.
Yeah, well, about a year and a half ago now, I connected up with Haley Sandoz. She's 15 years old, and she's an incredible fiddler, and she's local from about 25 minutes away from where I live, which is, you know, incredible in itself. And we really meshed well and play together really well, and we're having a lot of fun. So we decided to start playing together more often, and I started taking her to some of my gigs, and people were loving it so much, and we were enjoying it so much. So last spring, I was like, you know what? I don't really, you know, like to play by myself nearly as much as I like to play with other people. So, you know, let's form a band. And so Haley and I started playing together as Texas Wildfire. And then a friend of mine, Nathan Phelps, is also local. And he is an incredible, incredible bass player. His dad played bass for the Quavy Sisters for many years. And he's equally amazing, in my opinion. And he joins us, and it makes a pretty cool, rounded out, you know, trio swing band. And my hope is that it will someday, you know, grow into being a band that, you know, we can travel and do some really cool, fun, maybe even some big band gigs, you know, let it grow and, you know, just have fun with it. So that's been an exciting area in my life for the past year and a half or so.
Very much. Look out, Hot Club of Cowtown, huh?
Right?
Look out.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Texas Wildfire.
Well, I haven't heard you play with Nathan, but I have seen you in action with Haley. And I have to say, we were at a festival together in Heber City in November, which is a huge, wonderful festival, the Heber Valley Gathering. And the buzz of the entire gathering were you and Haley. And just the energy just sizzled and crackled when you all were on stage. And it was just, I would just could not quit grinning when I would watch you guys perform. So I am just so thrilled that you guys have hooked up and eager to see where all of this takes you, sweetie. Well, we're going to listen to another song of yours right now. It's called I Went Ridin'.
was a blonde little girl, cowboy hat and curls, smiles wreathed in sunshine. A pony, a Mustang, spirits never tame, childhood memories of mine, and I went riding while I was singing a Roy Rogers song, looping after restless doggies. Boys, I could do this all day long. Saddle a pony, keep calm or he'll boast, he's still just a little bit green. I learned to swing a good rope, praying to God and hoping my life would never change. And I went riding while I was singing a Roy Rogers song, loping after restless doggies. Boys, I could do this all day long. Cross fingers, good luck riding horses that bucked. I hope that I would do just fine. Fingers twisted in mane, bareback and rope reins, childhood memories of mine. And I love to go riding while I was singing a Gene Autry song, loping after restless doggies. Boys, I could do this all day long. Saddle a pony, keep calm or he'll bolt teeth, still just a little bit green. I learned to swing a good rope, praying to God and hoping my life would never change. And I went riding.
That makes me want to go get on my horse.
Me too.
Oh, God. Well, Mickey, thank you so much for being on the show today. You've just been such a delight.
No.
And I mean, I thought I knew
you.
A lot about you, but I've learned even more and gotten to know you even better. And that's one of the things I just love about this show. I discover new things about people that I just, you know, just love. And, so thank you, sweetie. And for people who want to know more about Mickey, get in touch with her. She would be a wonderful addition to any event or anything that you have coming up. And just get her in Texas Wildfire there, and you'll light up your event for sure. And you can reach her at www.mickeydaniel, and that's spelled MikkiDaniel.com. And so is there anything else you'd like to say before we let you go, sweetie?
Well, just thank you so much to you and Mr. Gary for having me on today, and hope to see you soon down the Blessed Trail.
Down that Blessed Trail. I'm going to be in Weatherford in July, so if I don't see you before then, hopefully
see
I'll.
You. I will. Yeah, definitely. I'll see you then.
That will be very fun. Well, you take care, sweetie. Say hello to your mama for me, and tell her thank you for all her help and getting me everything I needed for the show. And I just love you all.
Sure will.
Pieces. Can't wait to have
thank
you on
you.
Again.
Well, we love you,
we
too.
We have so much more to talk about. We have so much more to talk about. So. Well, we're going to close out your segment of the show with a wonderful rendition of a beautiful, beautiful old hymn, How Great Thou Art. Thank you. young woman inside and out, and what a joy to have her on the show today. And as I was preparing for the show and thinking about Mickey and her family and a lot of other young people that I know that are doing this business and performing and doing it in a way that is honoring to the Lord, I just was drawn to the scripture, Proverbs 22:6, that says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And these children are just exemplifying that scripture because their parents are so careful to just train them up right. And they are just launching off into their adult life and just honoring him with what they do. And then for Mickey, you know, when you just stay true to what you know is right and when you're not ashamed to just let the Lord shine through everything that you do,
I'm so proud of her, and just that really brings to mind the scripture in Psalms 37, 4 through 6, that says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as the noonday." So I would just encourage anyone out there to just let your light shine, take care of those little ones, train them up the way they should go, and then just trust that that light will shine through them as it shines through you. And just such a blessing. This show has been such a delight today. I'm just sitting there smiling. It's just been such a fun show. And just ask you to have a great day out there today, and be aware that if for some reason that you don't get to listen to this show, you know, right when it airs at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings, they're always going to podcast, and you can listen to them online and go back and listen to any of the other shows as well. So thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll be right back here, same time, same place, 9 a.m. next Sunday. So until then, just blessed trails.
Life's rugged road, stumbling neath a heavy load, I was headed for a fate of ill design. Many folks for me prayed, many pleas for me were made. I should have read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, paid no mind to what it said. Detour, all those bitter things are mine. I should have read that detour sign. When I got stuck in the mud, all my hopes fell with a thud. But the blame for being stuck there was all mine. For I'd hear time and again, Christ could lift my soul from sin. I should have read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, paid no mind to what it said. Detour, all those bitter things are mine. I should have read that detour sign. Lord, my life and soul resign. Now to others I say, who must pass along this way, better read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, pace